I am unashamed. What about you?
So what's new, Jace? This is our New Year's episode.
I can't hear.
Oh, you got to put the...
Well, I'm all shook up. I have to tell y'all what happened yesterday. I hadn't even told Phil.
Before y'all start that, I just... I got over in the... with the encyclopedia.
Oh, boy.
So, from a humanistic point of view,
they have these about, on this computer
about Christmas. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And okay. I just simply wanted to make the point.
It's Dad's internet.
That right? this started, you know, not far over 100 years after the kingdom came. Well, these festivals started coming up. Most everybody agrees December 25th, although they've got certain versions. But it's celebrated worldwide.
Yeah.
And it started a long time ago. I just simply wanted to make that point.
Yeah.
Now, you'd start a rumor about something, but if you start and you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you start looking at the encyclopedia and what it says about what went down there, something big happened there.
Oh, yeah.
That's my only point.
Well, some of these churches here, we mentioned this last time.
And to bring that up in our college history class in our university, injustice to what historical fact is.
And like Jay said, and then you got some churches, hard-headed people that don't want to talk about it either.
Well, because I couldn't find that verse.
For sure, we don't know whether it's the 25th or the 26th.
I couldn't find the verse, but they get it from that. There's one in Hebrews, because I went back and looked it up. And then there's one in Colossians where it says, they worship. Don't let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, or a Sabbath day, or a new moon celebration. So they're like, you can't worship a day. We're not worshiping the day. We're worshiping Jesus.
That's right.
It should be every day.
That's what I said. Yeah.
But our culture, if as bad as our culture seems to emanate evil behavior, especially in Hollywood, if we all pick a day and decide. We're going to celebrate.
Where billions celebrate. Yeah, billions.
Billions.
And the people that get offended for saying Merry Christmas, okay, well, even in their being offensive or offended, they're hearing, they're thinking about what we're talking about.
That's right.
That's correct.
So I have an interesting thought. Well, I don't know if it's interesting. Y'all might think it's weird.
I mean, the encyclopedia, to their credit, in other words, the Merry Christmas around the world, the country, China, Shongdanki, whatever, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, and Austria, Greece, Hungary, Italy, Japan, Netherlands, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Brazil, Russia, Spain, Sweden, and then it says United States, Canada, and other English-speaking countries. It's called, they got all their names, but it's called here, Merry Christmas.
Okay. Good.
If you look at it, you're like.
So how old are your encyclopedias? Do you know what year they were published?
These are about 7 or 8 years behind.
Because I'm wondering if, like everything else, that the left-wingers are going to put all their stuff. You keep getting the encyclopedias. At some point, you start getting the propaganda versus.
Well, look at the good news. Phil is single-handedly keeping the actual encyclopedia book going.
When's the last time an encyclopedia salesman knocked on your door?
Evidently, they're coming to Phil's about every other day. Because every time I see him, he's got a different version of an encyclopedia.
But you want to see something. Every time I see a pertinent point, I look it up in the encyclopedia to see what they had to say.
I just have
it's pretty interesting the way it
looks.
Because you get a lot of facts that people just say, I said, well, let's see now. We're not going to believe the Bible, no. We're not going to believe the encyclopedia, no. I'm like, so what kind of information are you going to believe?
Well, I just got to make a point, Phil. Look, I have all my encyclopedias on a little laptop computer that's stored. You're living with a self-proclaimed hoarder, and you're adding editions
volumes.
And volumes, literally, of books. So, I don't know.
I use books instead of the computer where they put the books.
And the information in the book.
All you're doing is looking at the information they put in there from right here.
And I have to admit, I'm mid old school. I use my computer a lot, but Sometimes I do like, when I'm doing Bible study, to pull out an old encyclopedia, a concordance, and just read out of the book. I like a book, too.
Granted, well, you can pull it up.
It makes me feel like
on the screen, which I don't have. I don't have access to that. But right. You're looking at the – it takes you – you're getting it all lined out there. While you're doing that, I'm walking 3 feet, 4 feet, and I'm picking up the book where you're getting your information from.
I bet my speed is better than yours on the
There's
computer.
Actually a volume button that you can hit. And it,
and you don't have to hear that.
I was going to read you the last verse. The Bible someone sent me, I have misplaced. And so I'm back to the old one, and I literally don't have the last chapter. With the chapter we're studying today.
That's the most pathetic Bible I've ever.
Look, wait a minute. I'm back in.
Every 4 years, Al, I go through that. 4 to 5 years, I'm getting out of the Bibles. I'm trying this leather bound that our man, the Bible, the work for the Bible people, Bob DeMoss.
He sent you that. Well, that was nice.
Yeah, he wrote me a little.
Well,
note.
Somebody sent me one. It was awesome, but I've
I like it because
it.
It's on the same page. All the information is
well,
on the
but
same
you've
page.
Noticed the leather bound ones hold up longer than those
way
old
better.
Hardbacks.
Way better,
because they would be gone.
Well, it is worthy of note. This was not planned. I guess you longtime listeners know that. But the last verse of the of John says, which we're in chapter 21 today. It's going to take us probably a couple sessions. Jesus
you think?
Well, yeah. Somebody sent me a deal. They said the study is too slow moving. I'm like, what?
It's the Bible, people. Yeah. It took thousands of years to
I've studied
it.
This almost every day of my whole life, and every day I'm like, oh, I never noticed that before.
I found out something new from the podcast.
But it says Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written, which, talking about your encyclopedia fetish, you just think of all those books, all those encyclopedias that you have, and now you have a reference.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus is the most incredible being ever. He trumps all volumes of encyclopedias.
That's right.
That's quite a thought.
Really. And like you said.
That's my point. And
well, good point.
Why I keep within a 10-year span, because 10 years, I'm like, take it or leave it, 10 years. But I keep basically a current update on what the world is saying about what the Bible is saying. I just like to know what they have to say.
Do you think that's why the Hebrew writer said in 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever?
That is correct.
That's top five verses in the Bible. Because it's something to ponder about. What exactly does that mean? But it definitely stops you in your tracks.
Yeah.
All right, before I was so encouragingly interrupted, I was going to tell you, I view this, the weird thought I have for the day is I view this period as the burial. So hear me out. So we had Christmas, and then we have the resurrection, in my opinion, sometime during the night on December 31st. Because then we have a new year. This is the way I'm looking at it. Because I believe everything should go through Jesus. Everything. That was one of the greatest things that I learned along my journey. You can't miss him. He's the hub. So every religious thing, every day, every celebration goes through Jesus. So I applied the gospel. So you have the birth. We celebrate it on the 21st. So at some point in between the 25th and, you know, about now, which is we're in the middle of the week.
Yep.
He died. So we think about that. But then you have the burial. So there's some things I need to bury. So I think about that for a couple of days. Mm. I do this every year. And so then that night, the night when everybody's popping fireworks, because I go to bed at about 9. But somewhere in between 6 and 9, I think about, okay, what about this year? And then, you know, when the new year, I'm trying to implement these things.
So you're then the resurrection is sort of the new year.
Yeah, it's like the new year. That's like the way I look at it.
Well,
every year. Is that weird?
I tend to look at it.
That's pretty good.
The birth of Jesus that gets him here. I'm thinking of an arrow coming down out of heaven. We do it by these hieroglyphics, you know, kind of scratch it out on a piece of paper. So he's here, God in flesh. The reason I hold on to that is because you can't be saved unless you believe that God came in flesh. Remember 1 John, he said, you're anti-Jesus if you don't believe God came down in flesh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he said you're the Antichrist. But that's funny that you're anti-Jesus.
That's right. Yeah. So you have that. Well, then the gospel is a national holiday in these United States of America. Been that way for a long time.
Well, they have the Easter, with the Easter, you mean?
Yeah.
Or and the birth.
Easter. So you got the birth, there he is. You say, whatever. Well, you have Good Friday. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Good Friday.
I agree
that they celebrate that. But I'm looking at like...
But the reason why, though, Jace, is as far as I know, is because that's all based off the, basically, the Catholic calendar of, you know, with the Ash Wednesday and Lent and all
the
that.
Encyclopedia.
So that's that. And then Easter's 40 days after exactly. That triggers it, which is kind of funny because evangelicals like us, Protestants, we still celebrate Easter, although it's really not. I mean, your way would actually be better, I think.
I just do it Passion
Week at the end of the year.
I have a Passion Week.
I wish we did it that way
for the New Year, and then I use Easter as a way to look at how we're doing.
Yeah. It's checkpoint.
Yeah,
because you're a quarter in, you're 4 months in.
We're humans. We forget. So I use it as the whole.
Yeah, because I'm not down on Easter. Don't get me wrong.
I love listeners. Easter.
I love Easter, and I love talking about the resurrection. But that's a good way to look at it.
Hardheads out there who think you can't celebrate a day. If we decided to change it to the 24th, guess what? I'm in.
Well, you mentioned that before because Nicaragua, right? You said they.
We actually on the 24th got our family together and we had a little special celebration before we ate for Karina.
Yeah, because that's her.
She said that's when they celebrate. I actually then went over my deal about we need to count down the time frame to the birth of Christ. Well, guess what? She said that's what they do in Nicaragua. So my idea that was going to change the world, somebody's already thought about it. Well, Nicaragua, way ahead of me. They pop fireworks and they count it down and they go through the streets and
yep.
So
of our family travels and scheduling. Actually, this year the Robertson clan, we celebrated it Christmas Eve. We had all my crew at my house Christmas Day. We
the whole week.
The next day we were down here. I mean, we had like a whole weekend celebration for Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, which is not a bad
thing. We basically celebrated the entire thing by throwing a feast.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, a feast.
We did.
So what was your three? I had three meal. I did, what did we do the first night? One night we had bone-in ribeyes and fillets.
That was the day before we had the seafood.
Okay, then we had the seafood. Well, and look. In a weird...
Seafood and duck strips, which you don't normally have that together. Fried duck strips.
Duck fingers,
which are
in
delicious.
In a weird turn of events, this guy caught me. I met this guy playing golf, nice guy. And I had just eaten a bone-in ribeye the night before. And so this guy I met that I play golf with, don't know real well, he sent Merry Christmas on Christmas. I thought, well, that's nice. And he also sent a picture of some steaks. They looked slightly bigger than the bone-in ribeyes that I had eaten. And he said, how many of these would it take for me and my brother to come duck hunting with you? And, you know, we get a lot of requests to go duck hunting, and we just can't do it for a variety of reasons. But now something hit me on that, you know?
The possibility of trading the rare fine cuts of beef to go duck on.
It was just the way they looked.
Hang on, Jace. Let's take a break. So, had you ever see that? It's a few years ago, a video, Jace, that went viral, and had some guy. I think he was from Florida, and he got in an altercation with the cops, and he said, and they brought out the tasers, and he was like, "Don't tase me, bro." Do you ever remember that?
I do not remember that.
Don't tase me, bro. I mean, that thing went viral because he was, and then of course they just.
I can sympathize with the concern.
Well, one of our new sponsors makes tasers. I thought that was interesting when I thought about that story. You know,
things that you tase people with?
Yeah, as a self-defense. And so a lot of people are nervous about having a gun. You know,
have you ever been tased?
I have not. Have you?
Nope.
You know, if you're a police officer, you have to be tased.
So you understand what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. So I've talked to several police officers. It's not pleasant, I'm sure. But for self-defense, it's a good alternative for someone that, you know, is nervous about carrying a weapon. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have any problem with that.
Why don't they do this for bears, maybe?
Maybe it's better than spray. Which would be good, right? Well, spray is also dangerous. Sometimes you try to spray somebody with a pepper spray, it comes back on you. I mean, you know, stuff is everywhere. So it's a good device. And so this sponsor of ours has some interesting information. More than 237,000 lives have been saved with Taser's network of devices, which is really interesting. I mean, in other words, it got them out of some tough situations.
Maybe I'll help them into a new market.
There you
get
go.
Get into the bear market.
Bear
prevention.
I like
market.
It. So here's what you do. Taser, it's T-A-S-E-R. Taser is available without a permit in most U.S. states. You can get the Taser Pulse Plus or the Taser Strike Light at Taser.com with the promo code Robertson. So you save 15%. Taser, T-A-S-E-R.com, promo code Robertson. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Check them out.
So guess what? I said, what are you doing tomorrow? I took that man and his brother, duck on him. We didn't kill but three ducks, but he was happy because they had ducks on him. And they were pretty three. You know, they were beautiful. He said, we're going to mount all three of them. I was like, great. So I think that. And we only went a couple hours for church because we weren't going. Sunday morning, I thought, we'll slip down here a couple hours before we go
Sunday
meet.
Morning, quick hunt. Yeah.
And I shared Jesus with them, which was way, you know, worth way more than the steaks or the duck. And in fact, when he left, he sent me a text. He said, you know, that was phenomenal that we got to hunt my brother, because his brother was a duck hunter. He's really not, but because I mean, every time he raised his gun, I was like, easy. But he said, you know, you sharing your faith, and I told your story because they kind of asked how all this happened, your conversion. And he's like, that was worth more than, you know, steaks or duck hunting.
Now, I don't know if I told you, he's Vinny's boss. He's my son-in-law's boss.
Well, I wasn't going into the specifics of who he was. I was keeping it
well,
in general.
You still don't know who he is. Nobody knows who Vinny's boss is.
So do you get...
well, I don't know. He said he would, Tuesday he was going to call me and we were going to meet up. So
to talk meats?
Well, no, I think he'll, I said surprise me. I'm bringing a Yeti ice. Yes, I can tell you.
So our Christmas meal started because I spoke Christmas Eve because we do a Christmas Eve service, and so we didn't really have time to cook, and so ours was good old Johnny's pizza, which I think that's what y'all had too on Christmas Eve.
I like
which
Johnny's
you can't
pizza,
beat Johnny's.
But,
I mean,
but Al,
I mean, well, you just, I mean, I was busy doing the Lord's work.
Oh
so.
Wow.
Well, it was a sad thing that happened. When the brothers met, one of the homeless brothers, Thomas, he didn't have a place to stay and couldn't drum up enough cash to stay anywhere. So Miss Casey, well, I'll give you enough for a motel for like two nights. So she gives him the money. I baptized him about a year ago. He's been there every time we meet. He just comes out of the city streets, and he's there. And Miss Cabe got him a motel for last night, and he died.
At the motel?
He died in his sleep.
Really?
Huh.
He died in his sleep. Kate told me, she said, Thomas just died, but I got him a motel room. And
probably the first good night
she
sleep.
Said, kind of some irony.
She said, out of all those homeless people in there, I know he made it.
Kay's making a judgment call here.
Well, I tell you what.
She said, I know he made it because he was there every time we met once you baptized him. And I said, Miss Kay, he's in good hands.
That's funny. Mom's a prophetess now.
Yep.
Well, you know what? I mean, you're right. That old boy, if y'all hadn't been doing what you're doing, he would have never known about any of that. He'd have died under a bridge.
Very rarely but Phil, did he have a place to sleep we tried to work it out where they could have a place to stay, but most of them say, no, they don't.
That is a nice gesture, and I think it's not an accident that you helped him get a place to stay, but you had more than that, given him a heavenly home to consider a year ago. And then, I mean, we all know our mom is the best of us. And so it doesn't shock me that she did that, but I think it's a prelude to his heavenly home.
Well, you know, they were arguing about where his stuff, you know, everybody.
Well, if he's homeless, he probably don't have much.
Well, he didn't have much, but what he had.
But they're all aware.
There was a little bit of argument because law enforcement was there, and you know, they were looking at what happened. He just died in his sleep, and he had been feeling kind of poorly, but they worked out something where his stuff would go. A certain person up there, you know, that knew him.
Some other person.
They didn't know where he is. You know, a lot of people, you know, what are you going to do with your land, your house, once you pass on? But you take a homeless person, they just have what they have on their back.
Yeah.
Or their shopping cart.
Or in their pockets or a little shopping cart.
Well, according to Jesus, he was a homeless person. He said he had no place to lay his head.
My point is, you reach out to people and you say, well, you can't. I mean, how in the world are you ever going to convert people like that on the street? Oh, I'm just telling you how. We pointed him to Jesus, and he said,
"Good
he
point."
Said, he said yes, and he died at least in a warm bed.
Right.
That's Luke 9:58 says that. I use that often.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to introduce John 21. Can I do that?
Do it
today.
Did you find it? Have you found it?
Well, I had the first chapter. I didn't have the little bit at the end, but I have it now. So, John 21. And this is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. And I just wanted to make a couple points, see what y'all think about this. I'm taking a little bit of a liberty here, but because it's, you know, if you go back to where this started, Jesus walks up to a bunch of fishermen and says, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. So then you fast forward, even though it's 3 years, it seems like a lifetime.
Lots happened.
Them.
I've always wondered, Jesus, why you're there. You're out there, fishermen, you know, rough-looking hands. I've been a commercial fisherman, I know. So, and you were there too, Jace. Mm-hmm. But you saw what livelihood we had, and we became fishers of men. But I wondered, you know, if you're sitting out there and he comes to you out there where you know, if he'd have come with me or you, Jace, we'd have been on hook net number 40, and we're pulling these nets up, dumping the fish out, and we're patching nets, you know, we're drying them out.
Well, that's why
Jace is the motor man, meaning he's backing me up, had it down to a
sign.
Yeah,
I was too.
We were like a machine. But it's pretty interesting that when he said, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men, and they dropped what they were doing and did it.
Yeah.
They still had their boats up because they would go back and forth. I don't think they were
doing it. Well, they're here now. That's the point. Look, the first point I was going to make was that. Here Jesus dies, and the fact that they're here together after everything, I think, is a positive thing. You know, most people, what happens when bad things happen? What do people tend to do? One of the things they do is isolate.
Hit the road.
And I feel strongly about this principle because there's, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of people who listen to this. When your strategy or your plan is to isolate, that is not from God.
Yeah.
It's not from God.
That's true.
You just think about how many situations are here. He wants you to work it out. Or even if you don't stay together.
Or find community to help you work.
You have to have, it's not good for man to be alone.
That's
second
right.
chapter of this Bible says that. Ain't good. You have to find a community wherever you go. You know, in family, in friends, in. When you just say I'm out of here, I'm hitting the road. So the fact that they were all back at the old stomping grounds where they fished and where this all started.
Well, and you remember whose idea it was here in John 21? Peter's the one that said, "I think I'm going fishing," because he's the most troubled out of the 11 because he denied Jesus.
Well,
three
right.
times. So
well, and maybe Thomas,
right.
as well, because you think about what he did. He's already in.
And
John
he volunteered 4. To go. As far as we know, Thomas wasn't a fisherman. I mean, there were only four that we knew of, but seven go on the fishing trip.
Well, who's the he says, right, there's seven, but it says, afterward Jesus appeared, let's see, again to his disciples, by the Sea of Tiberias. So this is, and I've been to Israel. So you're at a place, though, with that Sea of Galilee, where you can see everything. So it's like you can remember and reflect back when he fed the 5,000. Or, you know, other store where the you can look where the hogs ran into the water. You literally can see this thing. It's like a bowl. I mean, you're looking tens of miles, but.
Plus, remember the time they were trying to get across and they only made it part of the way, and then Jesus shows up. Whew, they're just instantly all the way across the line. I mean, that happened.
So,
there.
It, like from a movie, if you were producing a movie here, this is like awesome. We're back where they started. They're all together.
Because you could do the flashbacks of all the stuff that they had seen.
From the one spot, you know, where we ate at that restaurant on the Sea of Galilee and I saw the Opelousas cat down there. I mean, I'm like, you can see all these stories.
It's
pretty
amazing that the set, as it turns out, I'm using that word loosely, the
well,
set
right.
where all these events took place had worldwide consequences.
Well,
worldwide.
And that's why there's so
from a little place over in the middle of Israel. You think, what the world?
That's why
worldwide
there's so much
and generational. I mean, we're thousands of years now talking about everything that happened on this lake.
That's why there's so much anxiety there, to use a nice word, even today.
Hang on, before you read that, let's take a break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
I mean, when I was over there, I was like, at any moment, I could go up in smoke. You feel it. You sense it.
Yeah.
I mean, people look at you like, I want to hurt you. It's just that. Then you look at people, and, you know, we went to the festival and the celebration of the Passover and all that. I mean, it was, you felt loved. You know, they had us in their homes. We went through the whole process. It was awesome. But it was also like, we were at the, you know, I told y'all before about being in the church in Bethlehem. On the other side of the wall. I mean, I thought a bomb could go off. It's happened 14 times before here.
Yep.
It's going to be number 15.
Yeah.
So it really is a faith test. But then he lists all the people. So, Al, you're way more of a historical and a scholar than me. So you got Peter. There's Thomas. Yep. And the reason I brought up Thomas, because this in John 14, when he was like, just, I don't want to throw him under the bus, but when he was just missing the point, when he's like, well, how do we know the way? And, you know, it led to a great statement by Jesus. I am the way. I am the truth. But he was just not getting it.
Well, you can tell from his personality, from that and the, you know, that he has says, no, I know y'all have seen him, but unless I see him and put my.
Yeah.
So he was a doubter by nature.
Well,
his personality.
I was going to make the point.
He's a skeptic.
That Peter is the denier.
I see many
and Thomas,
doubters all the time.
And Thomas is the doubter. But I'm going to make a point here that I think for people who kind of went about it the way I did, and there's a lot of us, this next guy, Nathaniel, and then you have the sons of Zebedee. So who?
James and John.
All right, James and John.
Sons of Thunder.
And the two other disciples.
Which I'm just guessing, but one of them had to be Andrew.
Well, what's wrong with believing it was the same two? I think the numbers make sense. Of the two that were, it was seven of them when he made them fishers of men all fishing, wasn't it?
In Luke 5?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
I'm pretty sure there were that many.
Let me check.
All right, well, while you're looking, I want to make this point. Nathaniel, you say, what is Nathaniel known for? I'm kind of tricking y'all here.
I remember when he got called, he was the one that Jesus said, there's no one greater in Israel than this one. And then he was sitting under a tree, and Jesus mm-hmm. said, I saw you when you were sitting under that fig tree.
Yeah.
That was when he was called. So
thank you.
I don't know if that.
You mentioned, guess what, Al? That is the only time he's mentioned.
That's right.
There and here. And here's what I want to make a point about that. His life was a lot like mine. What he found in that encounter with Jesus, because he was thinking about the Old Testament. Remember, we went through this in an earlier podcast about Jacob's ladder, and then Jesus basically was reflecting to Nathanael, I knew you were under the fig tree, and I knew what you were thinking.
Yeah,
and that guy you were, you with that story you were reminiscing about that ladder, I'm the ladder. And so that's why I brought that up. When I said Jesus is the hub, Nathanael learned right then what it took me a couple of years to grow. He is the ladder. Everything filters through Jesus. But I wanted to say this. He then said to Nathanael, you will see greater things than these. And I think this is one of these moments, because he's fixed to see a miracle of fish. He's fixing to see a dead man eat those fish that he put his faith and trust. And then he's going to see his life go just like Jesus's did. But I wanted to say this. Peter and Thomas get all the headlines, just like they do in our modern-day churches. All these people, you know, and Phil has quite the story, and even you, Al. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people who seemingly are not mentioned and don't have that great of a testimony. Who, there's something to be said about Nathanael, who was there in the beginning, who didn't do anything noteworthily bad, but was there in the end. And I know when Jesus said, you'll see greater things than these, and he said, there's none greater than this fella. I just wanted to say for all those people who follow Jesus who don't feel like they have a testimony because they don't have some crazy, you know, story. Or some bad thing that happened.
Or something, some kind of wow conversion story.
Well, right. Well, somehow, you know, the list, just in this list, speaks to that.
Right.
You know?
That's why I made the point and I don't know, but hoping maybe Andrew was the other, because I made the same point about Andrew. Andrew's mentioned three times in John. First is in John 1, when he first says, recognizes Christ as the Messiah, and then he goes and gets Peter and brings him to Jesus. Now, the reason why is because I think Andrew knew his brother, knew his capabilities, and said, just like Jan did with you, to say, I got to get this guy to Jesus because he's going to be phenomenal. And he was. The second time you see him is in John 6, whenever Jesus is looking at this crowd of people and says, we're going to feed these guys some dinner. And then one of them looks at him and says, well, it'd take a year, you know, 8 months of wages. They wouldn't even get a bite. And it was Andrew who said,
I think he was being sarcastic.
He was. You know. And here's Andrew says, well, you know, here's a kid with five loaves and two fishes, but how far would that go?
I think that was a joke.
Or Andrew.
That's what I think.
Or Andrew might have thought, maybe. Like,
I think you're giving him too much credit. I think he was like,
that'd
take 8 months later. Like, here we go. We just need about 500 more of these kids.
I don't think so. I think he said maybe. And here's why. So the third time is in John 12. This is really interesting. So this is 10 years before any Gentiles are going to be converted. Jesus is teaching. This is Jews only. And some Greeks show up, and they say, we want to meet Jesus. Well, whoever they first talked to said they didn't know what to do, so they took him to Andrew. What do we do about this? Andrew takes the Greeks to Jesus. And I just thought, here's another guy. This guy seems to have a vision of opportunity to me from the three appearances that we see when he pops up. To your point, he wasn't anything dynamic. We never read about Andrew in the New Testament.
He wasn't writing letters.
No, I mean, but at the same time, the man had something going on because he could see in the future. I mean, he brought those Greeks into the guy.
I was just making a point that we're all different. We all have different stories. Those of us who have more drastic conversions get the headlines, but don't let the evil one make you think that you're not just as powerful force out there representing him. I mean, you're like, you know, when I was talking,
because it takes all gifts and abilities. I mean, everybody has a place in the kingdom.
You mentioned
when
a pretty
when
good
I was
point
taking
here.
The stake, guys. Look, I said I haven't been some wild, crazy, but it doesn't matter. You know, I mean, I got to Jesus because they were asking me about it.
Now, to prove your point, we studied with a lot of different people, and I noticed something, and it had a little 1 Corinthians 1 flavor to it. There were people who were thinking, in other words, who still think that you have to have some kind of license, educated
ordination.
Preacher ordination in order to baptize you.
Right.
And we would tell people, you know, it's your baptism, not someone else's.
Baptizer.
I said, it's not an official thing between right. It's between you and God. It doesn't make any difference who baptizes you. So I started telling like some of the brothers, I said, y'all baptize them, because I didn't want them to think, well, no, Phil's the one I heard. He's the one we want. Which, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, let's take a break. Which, that's a great point, Dad, because, you know, Paul said that there were these factions that were forming because this one had been baptized by this one.
Think you should read it. That's a good verse.
That's a great verse.
Yeah. In other words, he said, I appeal to you, brothers. He said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you, that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Shiloh's household, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. Now, watch what they were quarreling about. What I mean is this. One of you say, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another says, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow. They had divided these things up. It's like looking at the disciples and trying to pick out the big dogs.
Right.
You know, Peter and Thomas and old Andrew's over there. Nathaniel, what happened to him?
Right.
He's giving you a picture in the Gospels about don't be this way, like there's some of you that has more authority than others. In fact, he went on to say, he said, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? Because they were saying, well, unless the Paul baptized me, he says, it's not official. Well, he let them know pretty quick. He went on to say, look, I didn't come here to baptize, but to preach the gospel.
Right.
And he clarified that. Well, I never thought I would be dealing with the same type thing.
Yeah.
2,000 years later, people said, well, I want you to do it. I want you to baptize him. I'm like, hey, one of the brothers will baptize you. Don't worry about who's doing it. It's your baptism.
Well, I stopped doing invitations.
You know, they got these things. They'll hold their hand up and like to make it more official than it really is.
I quit doing the invitations, when I do church events.
I'm the same way.
I share Jesus, and I'll tell the pastor whoever's in charge, which they kind of like it better because they like their phraseology and semantics, you know, so it's perfect. But I'm like, I'm going to share Jesus in a non-threatening way. And while you're, you know, bringing them home or however they phrase it, I said, I'm going to be getting in a car and headed to the airport. So it actually works out. And the reason I did that,
I'm the exact same way.
Is the first event I did where, like, people just came down the aisles. You know, I felt like we got, you know, Billy Graham 2.0 going here, you know. And the first person I walk up to, I fixed to, you know, like tell them, awesome that you're coming to Jesus. They're like, can I have a picture?
Yeah.
Same thing
happened to me.
Huh?
Will you sign my Bible?
That's right.
And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah,
no,
then
no.
About two people later, same thing. Yeah. Can we get a picture? I thought, okay, I'm not doing this because you based on what you just read.
And look, it makes sense because a lot of time fans of the show and us would come to these things, which was great because we wanted to hear Jesus. The problem is they don't really realize that's an inappropriate time because they never been inside.
They need to put Jesus way up here and understand it's between themselves and the Lord Jesus, who became flesh, died for them, was buried and raised from the dead.
Right.
Well, he's the one doing the saving.
If I had to do it over again, when they said, "Can I have a picture?" I'd have said, "Jesus." Can I have a picture? I said, "Jesus. He's the image." Of the invisible God. That's, he's the picture.
That's the picture you need.
But I thought of that later.
Yeah.
I was thinking,
you were on the spot. I did the same thing for the same reason. And I like it that me being a local guy for many years, I like that the local guys there, these people that are in this town, that they need to deal with this guy.
That's where they're going
to
live.
Because that's where you're going to live. I'm going to be getting on a plane heading home.
But I've had many people in the church leaders say, well, how do you know they're going to teach them everything right? And I was like, how do I know the places where I'm meeting are going to teach everybody right? I was like, we're not policemen.
No.
Get off the policemen. They didn't say everything exactly how I said it. So I'm offended. And so what happens? Isolation. We already went through that. If that's your plan, that doesn't go with what we're reading here. They're all together, despite all their personalities and mistakes, and they were united in the resurrected Lord.
So so the story, back to John 21, is I kind of view it as a full circle, like you were saying, Jace. It's only been 3 years. The circle's pretty small, but it feels a lot more. And so Jesus shows up. They've been fishing all night. So the Luke 5 story, which, by the way, I looked it up. It doesn't give you a number. We know James and John were there. That's all we know.
Okay.
So whenever you get to Jesus coming up there, it's the same thing that happened before, except last time it was Jesus just telling him. He got in the boat with Peter and went out. He said, no, put your nets over here. And they're like, well, Peter's like, Lord, we fished all night, but because you asked me to, I'll do it. So now we get this 2.0 version here. Jesus is once again doing his Jedi Jesus thing, because they don't know who he is. It's a man. They're only 100 yards away, so it's not like they were so far they didn't know it was Jesus. They didn't know who he was. He said, friends, you catching anything? Nope, hadn't caught anything. Well, why don't you throw them out on the other side? So they do, and then they get 153, which, as you made the, we made the point about the reason John mentioned the number, you know, is because fishermen.
I think it's important.
Yeah.
I hate to say this, but I think this actual story, and some people have stories that mean more to them, meant more to me, because we know how we are fishermen are. We want to know how many.
That's it.
How many? I caught a bunch. Yeah. Number. I want to know.
And not just that. Think about these some people that fish for bass. You say, I caught a bull.
Yeah.
How big was he? 10 pounds and 6 ounces. I mean, down to the ounce.
Yep.
We got to know the size of that fish. Right?
I have a lot of friends who text me, and I'm like, how many ducks have I killed? And I get all these wild numbers. Well, yesterday I had a really weird occurrence. We didn't go duck hunting, and I took, you know, the day out, since I told you I'm in the burial stage of my thought process. So I went out and went metal detecting, because I thought I'll find some stuff that is buried and dig it up. And I'm reliving this cycle this week. Well, I stopped at the first place, and I took my shoes off and put hip boots on because it was kind of wet. Well, then I left, went on past my plantation house, you know, went to other place. Well,
your shoes are still in the field.
It hit me that I left those shoes out in that field. But now it's getting dark, and I thought, man, it was a little dim road, went out in the field. But anyway, I'm talking on the phone with the guy who we leased the field from over our property, but he said he saw some ducks pouring in there yesterday. So I'm distracted. So I'm really not watching my surroundings, but I'm not on a main road. I'm out in a field on just little pieces
with
of
a metal
roads.
Detector in your hand.
Well, yeah, but I'm driving in these back dirt roads.
Hang on, Jess. Let's take our last break.
So I go to the field. I see my shoes. I'm on the phone. When I pulled out of this little field, dirt road, sirens just surrounding my vehicle. Yeah. And a guy said, I look up. He's got it looked like some kind of tactical weapon with a bulletproof vest on. He said, get out of the vehicle. I rolled down my window and said, whatever it wasn't me. And this guy says, Jace? I said, yep. He said, oh, what are you doing out here? Then it was like, you know, like he said on the radio, oh, that's fine. It's not our guy. It was two game wardens in two trucks. But, I mean, since when are they dressing in tactical gear? He said they had a report, you know, some guy was shooting a gun out there, shooting deer or something. But he was on high on drugs or whatever. They thought I was him. Because he was like, what are you doing in that field? That's what he asked. Yeah. I said, well, I left my shoes out there.
Which sounds like a drug addict would say that. That's the craziest answer ever.
He's looking in my truck. Well, I had no guns. I had metal. I said, I was hunting, but I was. Well, and you said, what's that story got to do with anything? So we get to talking. And I said, how many ducks have you been? Because they're checking duck hunters.
Yeah.
He said, worst season we've ever seen. Everybody we check, they don't have any ducks. I'm like, well, these people, all my friends are killing hundreds of them, you know, they got them. He's like, well, they're lying. So you'll be glad to know, Phil. I said, well, don't go here. I pointed across the river. I said, boy, ain't nothing down there.
That's right.
Yeah, stay away. I skipped him off of you, Phil. Yeah. It was a funny story, but I thought, well, this guy knows because he's checking people every day. But you know, all my friends, when I was like, "What y'all killing?" They just can't say nothing, and they give these generalities, and I'm like, because I don't press them because we're on the phone. So how many? But that's what I want to say.
I'm always amazed, Dad, that Jace gets into more things. Like, more things have happened to Jace.
He's out
by times
hey,
10.
I will say this.
He's out
I've
in a muddy field looking for lost coins, and they accuse him of being the world's worst
I've
duck
killer. I've
never
had an altercation with law enforcement. Jace has had a dozen that we've talked about on the podcast.
They were game wardens, which I said, so since once he recognized me, thank the Lord they recognized me. It's one of the few times I was glad that I was famous.
Yeah.
Because this guy meant business. Oh, I said, since when are game wardens going around in tactical gear? And you know what he said was interesting? He said crystal meth.
Ooh.
He said a lot of these people.
Because there's a lot of, and they're armed because there's.
Well, they're armed and they're just shooting deer at night. And, you know, they're just. Oh, yeah. And he's like, man, there's some crazy people out there. I said, tell me about it. You know,
so back to our number.
Well, I hated I went to an awful rabbit on that. My whole point was the game warden said they ain't been killing them ducks.
Numbers
so
matter, right? That brings us back. So Jesus tells them that they catch these fish. A couple of different things from before. One is that their nets didn't break. Remember the first miraculous catch, the net started breaking.
Yeah.
Fish are getting out, you know, and to a fisherman, that's, I mean, you're losing money, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So the nets didn't break.
I've seen it happen thousands of times.
I mean, when we used to run the hoop nest, they had just one little hole.
Oh,
and they all
see,
get
some
out.
People wouldn't believe that's a miracle. But if you had 153
large fish.
Because I think this was before the time of 100-pound test.
And plus, they didn't have nylon twine.
Well,
that's
no,
what
that's
I mean.
That's exactly right.
I mean, it's, look, I fished, you know, Caney Lake was a famous trophy bass lake. Well, my friend had strategically, I better say located, tops in various places with his graph. Well, we would go, you know, fish these bass tournaments. Well, we would use huge lures because they would pay you for the biggest bass. I mean, they got bass in there. I think the biggest one come out of there is like 15 pounds.
Yeah.
And the state record is like 16
right.
or 18, something like that. Well, I kept getting my line broke because I'm using like a 18-inch worm, you know, with a four-aught hook, throwing it into a treetop. Well, then a 10-pound bass hit. And what's that? He breaks my line. So I just kept getting bigger reels and bigger line. I just kept going up. But the bigger the line, the less you'll hit.
Right. Yep.
So we fished that thing for a month. I did not have one bite because they can see my line. And,
yeah.
But when I did, guess what? I set the hook and just trolled him in, just like this. He ain't breaking this line.
Was you a big one, Jay?
Yeah, he was right under 10 pounds.
Yeah. A hoss. So that was miraculous.
Yeah.
So what happens is two things happen on the boat. First thing is that John recognizes, even though he doesn't visually recognize Jesus, he says, it's the Lord. Like, it's got to be him, you know, which was interesting because he just made that leap. It's only the Lord could do this. You know, we hadn't called anything all night.
And that says something about humility.
Right.
Because, look, it's like us. When we go hunting and we don't kill anything, and then somebody comes back and says, oh, you know, I found them. And you're like, yeah, no, I've been down there all day. They ain't there.
That's right.
I mean, but I think it says something. Of course, they might have spiritually been saying, who is this guy?
Well, you're right, because they had to be wondering, who is this guy?
I mean, I'm hard-headed. When I make up my mind, we're not going to kill him.
Oh, we know how hard-headed you are.
But we didn't go this morning for that reason.
Right.
I said, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah. Take a day
off. Now, if somebody would have called last night among the chain, because Jay's like, we're not going. Feels like fine with me because it was cloudy, no wind, and we didn't do much yesterday.
And it's muggy.
So we said, let's just take the day off. But if somebody would have called in there and said, no, I think we're going to get them because I have a secret spot, I wouldn't believe that. I mean, it would have taken a lot for me to say, okay, I don't know. I would have been mad and frustrated, but now do you think it was something spiritual going on, or do you think they were just, I mean, you think there was a hint that it could be
Well,
Jesus?
You know, they did it. That's interesting. So I don't know. But he instantly says it's the Lord, which I thought was interesting, even though visually he's not recognizing him. And the second thing that happens is that Peter gets so shook up when he says this, he puts on his outer garment and jumps in the water because you got about 100-yard swim to get to the bank. And so then they start towing the fish in. And I thought that was interesting because to me, and there's could be a lot of reasons why, but it just seems like to me it's another typical Peter moment where he just kind of goes crazy. I mean, we see it throughout the thing, and he jumps in the water and takes it. And then so when they start coming in, then he has to crawl back in the boat, which I thought was kind of like funny. It's like a walk of shame. You know, it's like, I got
it. And it goes with his personality. But when you read verse 4, it says – they didn't realize it was Jesus.
Right.
So really, that was a leap of
humility,
I guess, to try.
But look, even when they come over there, he's got the little coals, they've got some fish on there, and they sit down with him, and it says no one dared ask who he was. He still didn't look like Jesus. When they're sitting around the circle, it said no one would ask him who he was. So why would they be questioning that? If he looked like himself in that moment, they wouldn't have had to ask him. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting. Right up until the moment that we'll get into next time, which was, I think, the purpose of the whole thing, which is to, you know, get right with Peter. They didn't know who he was. I mean, physically, and yet they knew it was him, which I just found
really
interesting.
Which I think, as fishermen, all people who are not fishermen like we are to the degree, they won't realize that part of being a successful fisherman is you want to find people who know where the best spots are,
right?
You know, they call them honey holes, and when you realize, you know, we're serving a Lord that's mighty, that's powerful, that's loving, that's all knowing. But guess what? He knows everything you thought you knew about the fishing world, which obviously since He created them. But I mean, I just love this story when He's like, throw it over there. Yeah, I bet that's gonna work. Oh. 153. That's why they go so crazy.
That's right. And we've said this before, to impress fishermen, that's what you do. Well, we're out of time. We're going to pick up the last part of this chapter, which will be our first one in the new year. Happy New Year to everyone.
Yes, and this will leave a cliffhanger of they were so excited about the catch.
Right.
It produced this moment. It's very moving.
Yeah, and it's great because it really sets up what everything's going to happen in the first century church, too. So we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.